Be a believer, TK.
I'm not a believer. Not yet.
Not at all.
Not after one day. Not after one game. I need a little
more.
A little more of a track record, Hugh.
Been a whole
than
season.
Just one day with Bryce going off. I mean, look at the last couple days with the Phillies here. But talking a lot about Bryce today. Bryce Harper, incredible performance yesterday. Are you back believing in the Phillies after one game of great performance from Bryce? I'm not. I need to see more. I still think this team has a lot of flaws. And, I mean, I know we've talked about it a lot. We'll continue to over the next 3 weeks. I think a lot is going to be determined by what they do at the trade deadline. Because this team, I think they need a bat. I think they need a couple arms in the bullpen. We'll see what the Phillies do. But you want to get in, 215-592-9494. How you join the show? As I said, we're talking about Bryce Harper. Did that make you a believer again after the game yesterday? And when it comes to the trade deadline, should Andrew Painter be available for the Phils? Yes or no? What do you got there?
No, I'm just looking at Mike from Collegeville. And his what Kyle wrote up there for him, I just thought it was funny.
What?
Oh my God!
No, I'm just saying what you wrote up there. I just thought it was funny.
I think it's a mind in the gutter thing. Am I wrong?
No, it's not. It's
I'm not wrong.
Funny. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm confused.
No, yeah.
I didn't do anything special. I put his topic up there.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I guess
I was being childish.
You were.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But do you think Andrew Painter should be available for the right price at the deadline? Again, I'm not giving Andrew Painter away. I know he's a great prospect. I know he's one of the best pitching prospects in all baseball. But for the right deal, for the right piece, I'm giving in to my urges here. I want a real chance to win a World Series. And I think to do that, you're going to probably need to dip into the higher-end pool of your farm system. You need bats. You need bullpen arms. I'm ready to commit if the right guy is out there. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Tyler in Delaware. What's up, Tyler?
Yo, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, Tyler?
How are y'all this Thursday?
How are you, Tyler?
Hey, Hugh, seeing you and meeting Kyle and Tom for the first time yesterday, it made my whole week. We had such a nice time. Tom, you had asked what you look like today. My dad and I were talking about this. You look like one of my high school history teachers who was so awesome that after class, I'd stay late and talk sports. Like, Tom,
I can't see TK teaching history.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know if I have the memory retention for that.
He's got that button-up shirt, and you know he had the little messy hair a few days ago. But I mean, Tom is one of one. So Tom has a unique sports background and all. So you know, Tom, you are awesome.
Well, thank you, Tyler.
You
great meeting you yesterday, man.
Story of.
You are definitely awesome.
Having a chance to meet Kyle and I met in the bathroom.
Oh, what was that interaction like?
Uh-oh. Yeah, that was probably
it was definitely interesting.
Know that.
Because I'm there. I guess Kyle had to go. I had to go. And then I'm washing my hands. And I'm like, I can't miss that buzz cut and stash anywhere. I'm like, yo, it's Kyle.
Wait a minute. You spoke in the bathroom, Tyler? You spoke to Kyle in the bathroom?
Yep.
That's a no-no, Ty.
Well,
I mean, Tyler,
it depends on what stage of the bathroom. I was about to walk out the door, and Tyler was washing his hands.
Okay.
So there was, you know, it wasn't urinal talk.
Good.
Which is very different.
I mean, but I'm not a fan of urinal talk.
You're right. It is.
There's a big distinction.
It is. But I just feel like, you know, in the bathroom, it's a sacred place.
Yeah.
I don't need to have a whole lot of conversation in the bathroom.
While you're doing your business, I think it's very sacred. But, like, once that's done with for both parties, I think, you know.
Acceptable.
Yeah.
I just had a flashback.
Kyle held the door for me. He said, just make sure you dry your hands off, and then I'll give you a handshake, and he did.
That sounds like Kyle.
All y'all were off.
That sounds like Kyle.
There you go.
No, I'm not about to shake your wet hand.
Yeah.
No. Neither would I. You have to dry them hands first. What do you mean?
Tyler, is Painter on the table for you or not?
So, Tom, I told Kyle, Andrew Painter is 22 years old right now. He's going to be 25 years old once Zach Wheeler retires at the start of the 2028 season. Andrew Painter is not on the table for me unless you're getting Paul Skeens back. He has been viewed as one that you can pass the torch to as a top-end starter in your starting five as an anchor with the potential of becoming your ace. And I just feel if you're going to trade a guy like that, the haul that you have to get back, like, I don't know about you, Tom, but Austin Riley is a great player, but I am not giving up Andrew Painter to the Braves. We are not helping the Braves, who have been our biggest rival, even though they're having a down year this year, even though we need a bat, unless you're getting top-end talent to match for those kinds of years. And the one name I want to throw out there to you all, and I want to get your thoughts on it, is the closer that's known as the Renegade, David Bednar, on Pittsburgh. Through the end of the season last year, he had a down year, but two seasons ago, he went 39-42. He's only had 12 save opportunities, but he's locked down all 12 this season. And you know Pittsburgh's going to be sellers coming up here. They're 38-56. And his contract is through the end of the year. He's making only $5.9 million. So you're not going to have to give up a whole lot to get him. And I get Emmanuel Clase and Helsley, they're cream of the crop. The Cardinals are in the wild card hunt. And as much as I love Clase, the Guardians use him because they don't have a lot of bullpen arms like us. So by the time he got to the postseason last year, I watched some of the ALDS last year when he just folded like a pitch tent. And that's not what we want. We don't want a guy who's going to have a .64 ERA during the guts of the regular season and then have a 9 ERA through 7 appearances in the postseason.
Yeah.
You got to get something that's more consistent.
I hear you, Tyler.
Have a good show.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call. I mean, Bednar would be interesting. I mean, that's cool. I didn't know that was his nickname, the Renegade. That's cool.
I didn't
nickname.
Know that either.
I'd be interested in Bednar, but I don't know. I feel like he'd be more of like the second bullpen arm I'd want to bring in than like the top guy I'd bring in. Like he doesn't like excite me.
Yeah, you want to be excited. You want to be wowed at the trade.
I want to be wowed. Yeah.
I think they need a lockdown closer and a guy that slides in.
Would you agree?
Few spots down.
Bednar's more like a secondary guy.
Yeah, he's not like the gem of the deadline.
If he's,
I think for the Phillies, like I would prefer if you can get him and Helsley. I think that would be pretty solid.
Yeah,
you know,
like if Bednar's like the Tanner Banks of this year, I'd be cool with that. That would work out.
You are a big Tanner Banks guy.
Well, I'm becoming more. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm becoming a Banksman.
Wow,
I am
a Banksman,
a banker. We should, you know what we got to bring back, weird. By the way? We need to bring back those fan groups.
Banks Bankers?
Yeah, Banks Bankers, something like that. Yep. When we had the Padilla Flotilla?
yeah.
All those? Yeah. Those are great. That was a great era.
I don't know if Banks Bankers is going to take off.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like that one's going to, you know, hit.
Yeah, he's pitching well. It could take off a little bit. I did want to pass this along, an angry tweet I saw from Christopher Sanchez's agent. This guy, Gene Motto.
Oh, yeah.
He tweeted out, he said, Christopher Sanchez being left off the All-Star team is a travesty. The numbers cannot be ignored. Even if he is scheduled to start on Sunday, something has to change, MLB. I like a feisty agent fighting for his guy. What do you guys think?
I'm thinking. No, because I'm thinking.
You don't really have time.
No, well, it's like when you is he could potentially be messing up your money, too. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, you know, I do like an agent that says what he has, you know, speaks his mind. Though I do like that, so yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
No, I was just thinking, you know, sometimes I like to, you know, before I answer questions, I just like to kind of mill it over a little bit.
I'm fine with it.
Chew the fat a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Think about it for a
second. Even though we're doing a radio show, I know, and that pregnant pause kind of, you know, throws people off.
You don't want
to think about it a little bit.
You don't want to give the wrong answer.
No, I just want to think. I want to think. You know, I want to give a thoughtful answer.
Those
sometimes I slow it down because if I answer too fast, I might sound like
Kyle's
that.
Just ready to jump on you at every.
I might sound like that.
And the ambiguity.
I like that one.
I don't think you've had any of those moments this week.
Well, we'll get to one a little later.
Yeah, I had one today when I messed up. Yeah. I forgot what I messed up, but I thought it was
fun. We'll run it back.
Yeah.
Okay. Kyle's ready to go. Cowboy Jim. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Hugh, TK, Kyle. I'd like to thank the station for giving non-Eagle fans a platform like myself and San Diego Charger Aaron. So
What have I done to deserve this?
4 hours of Andrew Painter talk. Oh, God, football can't come close.
We literally brought it up in like the last segment,
Holy
Jim.
Mackerels. Listen, Sosa's your right-handed hitter. You need a relief pitcher because the first two games in San Francisco, those are going to be the playoffs. You need a relief pitcher because the games are going to be low-scoring, close games. That's what you need. Andrew Painter, I mean, Hugh Douglas has thrown more pitches at Citizens Bank Park. The guy had surgery. He's getting lit up, and that's all you can talk about?
Well, Jim, what is your point here? We're talking about the trade deadline. What are they going to trade to get guys at the trade deadline?
Why don't you start a podcast?
Yeah.
That's not my game.
Jim, do you have anything insightful, or are you just calling to be a jerk?
No, I'm not being a jerk. Listen, I talked about all this stuff with Rob Cherry last night, and you have these callers, people calling in, saying the same exact thing that I said to Rob Cherry. I'm like, come on, this is getting to be ridiculous. I said the same thing. So listen, there's no miracle out there that's right-handed that's going to help you. You need a relief pitcher. That's all it's come down to. But you have no one you can trade. And you sit here and go, oh, Andrew Painter. How many times do you have to say his name? I have to take a drink every time you say his name.
Well, you say they have nobody they can trade. That's a guy they can trade, Jim.
And Devin, listen, wearing a cowboy hat doesn't make you a cowboy fan. You could be a Houston Texan fan.
Yeah, being an annoying loser does.
Well, this is your guy, Kyle. You're not my guy.
No. You made me pick between Aaron in San Diego and Cowboy Jim. That's a very hard decision to have to make.
I think I'm back on the Aaron side of things.
Wow.
Devin, you and I are going to be working that Eagle Charter together. You better be on the good side of Stewart as Jim. Because I can make your day miserable. Okay?
Wait, are you threatening Dale?
He's referring to himself as Stewardess Jim.
He doesn't care at this point. God. He doesn't care at this point.
Solid self-awareness, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron in San Diego has no idea. At least Cowboy Jim does.
San Diego Charger Aaron gets a little upset when you say something.
Yeah, I've caught a stray.
All right, Jim. Take it easy. I can't take any more of him today. I mean... I think I'm more of an Aaron guy now. Like, Jim, sometimes Jim is just brutal.
It's the type of thing where your mind changes whenever either of them call.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Kyle's mind kind of stays the same.
Yeah,
he's kind of like, he hates it, like, with a passion.
I don't move.
And I'm not going to lie. I mean, Jim's voice is so irritating.
It's tough.
Like, it is a tough voice to listen to for more than, like, 2 seconds. And especially when he starts saying something dumb. I'm just done.
He kind of has a routine that he sticks to. You can't really have a back and forth with him because he just goes to the next thing.
Right.
You know?
He needs to come in. He needs to get his one-liners, his bit done. But it's like, come on, man. Add a little something to repertoire. Mm.
At least he started by talking about Andrew Painter. Like, Aaron from San Diego rants for 5 minutes about nonsense that nobody cares about. And sometimes never gets to his point.
Yeah, but Jim also didn't contribute anything valid or meaningful to the conversation.
Well, we're talking about him now. So.
It's you know, the lesser of two evils. So I don't know which one. They're both very evil. So I don't know which one to go with. Let's go to Joe in the Northeast. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Tommy, you, Kyle. The thing with Painter. Mick Abel, since he's been sent down, he hasn't even pitched a game since they just sent him down the last time. You know, and I wonder why is that? You know, and he's more developed than what Painter is. I've watched all the games that Painter's pitched. Earlier, he had thrown some pitches 100 miles an hour, and in his last start, he topped off at 97, throwing between 95, 97. And his fastball, he's leaving up and they're hitting it out of the park. There's one guy, Joey Meneses. He plays for the Mets farm team. In the last two games he's seen him, he hit a home run in each game off him. So he's far away from being brought up to the major leagues. But they had an ample opportunity with Abel when they send him back down to start pitching him out of the bullpen in AAA.
Yeah, well, they're not going. It doesn't sound like they're going to do that, Joe. I mean, the Phillies.
I mean, what are they doing?
They're keeping those guys in the starting rotation. They don't want to move anybody.
Yeah, I mean, they're not even starting them right now. So I mean, I don't know why he should have pitched. Now whether he pitches tonight, you know, he should have pitched. He was ahead of Painter on the turn when they sent him down. And in reference to what you're saying about if you could get Riley. For Austin Riley, if the Braves would offer him up, you have to go get him. I mean, he's only 28. And so, okay, Tom, if you get him, what are you going to do about you're playing him at third, and then what do you do with the bomb Harper situation?
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be the problem, Joe. I think that's something that you need to figure out. Like you'd think Bohm might be in that deal some way if that were to happen, but if you kept Bohm, I think you'd probably have to move Harper to the outfield, even though that's not something I really would prefer to do.
Everybody, I hear you say that, and other people say it. You have every ground ball that's hit to the infield, Harper is moving. He's moving to the back. All right. How many times does the runner and the first baseman throughout baseball get involved with contact there? If he's not reckless playing left field, say, go crashing into the sidewall or whatever, the outfield is a much easier position to play than first base. There's movement all the time. So I can't see where, and he supposedly said that he would move to the outfield. You know, why putting him out in left field would be a problem. Even with the situation with you had Bohm could play first, and you want Sosa in there. What's wrong with Sosa playing at times at third? And now you've got Kemp. If you don't play Kemp most of the time, send him back down to AAA because he's going to be wasted. They'll expect him to come off the bench and do something just like they did with Weston Wilson.
Well, I mean, he's playing every day against lefties.
Yeah, left-handers.
Yeah.
Against left-handed pitching. But against right-handers, he's not playing. Harper's playing first base. And the kid's sitting on the bench.
Yeah, but he's still playing against lefties, so I'm not going to say, and I appreciate the call, Joe, but I'm not going to send him down just because he's not playing every day. If he's playing against lefties, he has a role on the team. So I'd keep him up and keep playing him.
Oh, no, I thought he was talking to Jim. I thought he was talking to me.
Oh, no,
I
got you.
Joe's calling. You saying that?
Yeah. Are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, I'm here. That's good.
So, I'm here. Yeah, I'd keep Kemp up.
I've liked what Kemp's added to the lineup. Yeah. I think he has good at bats up here.
Yeah. I mean, and I think he's brought a little bit of swagger since he's been here as well. I do believe that. I think that he was one of the reasons why. I mean, for a time, they had a little bit of bump in the lineup. I do believe that.
Now, guys, we see this Matt Gelb piece, and I want to know what your feeling is as far as how much you believe it. Because Dave Dombrowski, like, we've heard this stuff the last couple of years, that they're going to be more aggressive, that they're going to look to do bigger things. I don't know if I really believe it. You know, I'm more of a, you know, I'll buy it when I see it type situation with the Phillies right now. Even though they say they're willing to part with higher prospects, I don't know if that's really true.
I look at it like this. There probably is some validity to it because of the Painter situation. You know, the fact that he hasn't been up here yet. So, and the fact that he hasn't been pitching, I guess saying great. He hasn't been too great. So there might be something to it. They're probably protecting him because he's still such a hot commodity. And the team would probably be willing to take him with a limited knowledge of you know, him pitching in the majors or no knowledge of him pitching in the majors. So, you know, maybe that's the case. I look at it like this. For this piece to come out right before the All-Star break and everything, and the team looking like they looked last night in small sampling size, they might be looking to push all in, and he might be a part of that.
Well, part of the piece did involve Andrew Painter. I don't know if you saw this quote, but Matt Gelb wrote, when the Phillies progressed in trade talks with the White Sox for Garrett Crochet last summer, they were steadfast in deeming Andrew Painter untouchable. They have held firm in that stance this July, but everyone else in the organization, according to league sources, might be available to varying degrees.
Yeah, and that would be my guess. Like, I don't think at the end they're going to trade Andrew Painter.
No.
But, like, I'm not even convinced that they're going to part with a guy like Miller, or that they're going to part with some of these higher level prospects. It's like every year because we've heard this the last couple of years. We've heard the Jim Bowdens of the world and these experts coming out saying, "Oh, Buster Olney, Dave Dombrowski's going to go get the highest end market guys." I don't think that's necessarily true.
But where I think it's a little bit different this season is, now I think that sentiment has more come from not like inside knowledge, but more of just cuz we say the same stuff. Dave Dombrowski's known as that guy that's going to go all in and take big swings. And he hasn't really been here.
He talked about spending a lot of money, too. He had a lot of bravado about spending a lot of money.
Right. Now, this to me, what Gelb just wrote was that he's looking to fix mistakes from the offseason, I think you can make the case that while we all had thought in years past that Dombrowski was about to go all in, I feel like he had been more satisfied with the off seasons that he had. And like, as opposed to this one, right? Well, like the Trey Turner thing, I think he's like, well, that should be good enough. Him and Middleton are probably saying that should be good enough for us to go make a deep run. Like that lineup, that addition to the lineup should be what it takes. But now it feels like he's looked at the offseason. And I think part of the plan in the offseason was to give themselves flexibility to be able to do something like this at the deadline. I think he wanted to come into the season and let the Phillies sort of show that they're worth going all in for, and I think he does believe now that they're worth going all in for. So wouldn't surprise me if it's a little bit different this season. We do see him trade one of those top prospects.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Just when I look at it, I don't have a ton of confidence. I mean, you look back at the last few years, and really going back to the 2023 offseason, when you really dig into all the moves Dombrowski has made, I mean, it's bad. Like, the resume over the last 2.5 years or so is really bad. Like, the Trey Turner thing excluded, I think that's more of a John Middleton move than anything else. But, I mean, Taijuan Walker, the 2023 deadline where you got nothing to help you, last offseason where you really didn't do a ton, last deadline where you didn't do anything to help you out, and this offseason, this offseason with Romano and Kepler, been a complete disaster. I mean, literally could not have gone any worse than it has gone.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, there was rumors out there that you were trying to trade Baum, and nothing came from that. So, yeah, I get that.
Don't you think part of it, though, is, I mean, those other deadlines, they're kind of like middling moves, right? They're lesser prospects for, I mean, look, you almost get what you pay for sometimes at the trade deadline. Maybe it's just a matter of he hasn't been willing to, until now, spend more.
Yeah, and but that's the thing, and we'll see if he is willing to. I don't know if he's really willing to. I hope he is, but I'm not sure. It's gonna take some convincing, at least for me. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Talking about the trade deadline, would Andrew Painter be on the table for you? Also, what we were talking about earlier, Bryce Harper, a massive day yesterday, 4-for-5. I still cannot believe that was the first time in Bryce Harper's career where he had 4 extra base hits in one game. I know it's tough to do, but you'd think that Bryce would have done that at least once in his career to this point.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
A homer and 3 doubles. Unbelievable game as the Phils win 13-0. Jesus Luzardo pitched really well as well yesterday. Phils off tonight before starting a 3-game series in San Diego tomorrow. But want to know, is Painter on the table for you? Also, Bryce Harper, did it make you believe more overall in the team after his performance yesterday to see Bryce get on the right track like that? Final segment of the show coming up. You people in the next segment. Plus, we got to get to this. Joe DeCameron. Well, there was one thing that Joe DeCameron said during his pre-match interview with Buzz yesterday that certainly, I know, perked Hugh up a little bit. We'll get to Joe explaining this when we get back. He talked about it on the morning show. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.